Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Healthy Project podcast. I am your host, Corey Dion Lewis. I have another great guest in the building today. I've been really just excited to get to know this person. The energy is just off the charts, and you can really tell that you are really about this life when it comes to health equity. I have Maria Torres with me today. Maria, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me. I think, you know, when we met, I have told you, I don't know what it is. It's your energy. I feel like we're on the same tribe. So yeah. whatever you're selling and I'm buying, and I have seen this and it's amazing.
Also, I really appreciate that. And you're right. Like it's just been clicking. That's been cool to be a part of the tribe. Yes. But before we get into our conversation, Maria, can you tell the people a little bit more about yourself, what you do and what gets you up in the morning?
Of course. So I am the health equity coordinator for Pottawatomie County Public Health, and we are close to Omaha. So we're in that metro area. Sometimes people don't know where Council Bluffs is. And as soon as I say where, you know, before you cross the river to Omaha, they're like, oh, I know exactly where it is. let's see it right now. You know, what gets me up is my community. I feel like we need people like us out there, you know, just sure that we are pushing, and we're not pushing the envelope, but being different than everyone else. Because I feel like we have gone to that line where we're all the same and we're trying to just stay stagnant. And we need people like us that are like, wait, what is going on here? Can you explain this to me? Because I don't understand. And trying to put that over to our community.
Yeah, I 100%. And I think to your point, we need people who are not afraid to ask the questions everybody wants to ask. You know, there's that one person that like that says what everybody else is thinking, but no one wants to say it. And it almost in a way, that's kind of, you know, what I feel like you're doing in your county, and what others are doing across the state and across the country, specifically within public health and health equity, that we need to be having that conversation and to be asking those questions, or to be doing the initiatives or creating the projects that no one else is doing. So I think that's so cool. Maria, what inspired you with this focus in health equity? Like, what was it that was like, you know what? I want to be that person that is different. What inspired you?
I think, you know, since I was growing up, and I came from El Salvador when I was 10 years old. So I am an immigrant. I have my story. I have my trauma. And growing up, I feel like I always wanted that adult, you know, just to tell me that things were going to be okay. You know, when things around you were going on chaos, I feel like that's what it was for me. And believe it or not, like I started completely different, before I started my job with public health. I was studying to be an aircraft mechanic. So
that's a big change.
So going from that to this, but I always had that passion of, you know, I want to help people. I want to be more. And I think that when it comes to us, and that passion is, I want more. I don't know what it is. And, you know, when COVID-19 happened, I think God just decided this is time for you to go exactly where you belong. And I was helping my community with the language barrier. So I knew it then. I'm like, wait, like what is this? You know, and I felt really happy. And although my emotions were going up and down because of everything was going on,
right.
At the same time, I felt a sense of I'm helping, like I'm actually helping. And it wasn't just my community. It was just everyone who, you know, had questions. They were worried. What's going to happen? What's going on? And maybe I didn't have all of the answers, but just being that sound voice of like, hey, I'm worried too. Let's be worried together, but let's, you know, let's see how can we make this better. Because right now everything is just in that sense of, well, I'm not sure what's going to happen. And we're on the same boat. Like, let's write this out and see right. where we're going and let's do it together.
Right. So you go from aircraft mechanic to finding your purpose. What, that's the way I see it, is just finding your purpose. What, it sounds like you, from what you told me or what you just said was like, oh, I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm helping my people. This is what I'm supposed to do. Walk me through, because now I'm curious. Walk me through, you have this aircraft in front of you. Yeah. And from that to public health, was it a hard transition or was it smooth because you knew this was where you needed to be? Like, how was that transition?
So, you know, at the beginning, I think that we, as human beings, we get so caught up in the, you need to make sure you are making, that you're in a job, that you're making money. And at that time, mm-hmm. I was working at the airport. So for me, I kept hearing all of the aircraft mechanics come in and say like, oh my God, you're going to make double time, triple the time with PTO. Like, you're going to make so much money. And, you know, my son was a newborn at the time. So all I kept thinking is, I want him to have a better life than I did back home. I don't want him to worry about anything. I want him to, you know, go through high school, college, university, whatever he wants, I want to make sure that I'm providing that. So I think I got caught up on that and obviously of the voices around me. But I always had this thing of, you know, I want to help people. How do I do it? And it was always with the, well, I'm going to donate whatever clothes I'm not using. I was donating all of that and I was trying to donate my time with whatever I could.
Right.
I even had, this is insane to me, but now it's just, it makes me laugh because I'm like, you're right. I had two one was a supervisor and one was a manager, where they both just told me that I was too nice. Like, I had too much of a big heart. The people were not nice and the people were going to step all over me if they could. But now, you know, as I'm growing and I'm in this position, I'm like, there was a reason why. It is true.
Right.
You know, because I care and I want people to have better. You know, I want my community to have better. I want everyone around me to have better, because we can. We should be allowed to dream more than just what we have, and to have the support. And now I'm like, it just became a dream come true. I applied for a completely different job before my you know, the health equity coordinator came up. And I knew at the moment that my administrator mentioned like, hey, we have the perfect job for you. We think that this is the one, because you are very community-based. You just have that. And when she started talking to me about like, you know, we have never had a health equity coordinator here before, but it just fits you perfectly. And when she started going through the description, I'm like, oh my God, that means like,
yeah, this is me.
Yes. I'm like, I'm going to be with my people. And it was very exciting when those doors open. And, you know, the transition of that, it was so easy, because I went from, you know, yes, I was passionate about what I was doing. It was an easy job. I didn't have to deal with people. But then knowing, you know, that I was actually making a difference, and I'm like, you know, this is exactly what I'm meant to be, because this is what I always wanted. When I was growing up, I didn't have that. Now I want people to see signs in Spanish, signs in other languages, because we deserve to have the same information that everyone else does. So in a way, I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this for my people, and Spanish needs to be everywhere in Potawatomi County. And now going out into the community and having those hard conversations is, I'm not the only one going through it. My community is not the only one going through it. We are all going through it. So how do I, you know, model that in a way where we come together, we work together? And to me has been like finding my people, you know, like, okay, how are we going to do this, guys? because we need to do something. And it has to be different than what we have been working with. We cannot keep ignoring the issues. We have to actually address them and not go back and say, we're going to fix it. We're going to fix what, you know, we broke over there. No, we have to fix the now. How do we move forward, make it better for people? And just, and I forgot the word, but there's something in Japanese where when something breaks, they, and it's broken, they go over with gold and they fix it with gold and it just becomes something new and it's stronger. And I wish I could remember what that was called, but it was beautiful. And the way that they were explaining it, I'm like, that's what we need, because we need to acknowledge the fact that the system is broken and how do we make it better for people? And something more beautiful, something brand new.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at right
now. No, I love the analogy, because I think when we think about a broken system, in my mind, it's almost like we're trying to take the pieces and put them back together. But what you're saying is like the system is broken. How can we make something beautiful and new with... this is what we have. This is what we have. How can you make something beautiful and new with what we have and fix it that way? Because I just think when it comes to our system, and there are so many different ways this conversation can go, right? Like there's a lot of brokenness and fixing to do.
Oh yeah.
And I think that can be overwhelming, and I think that can be it can be difficult. Like it's a difficult journey. But also, I think we need to switch that mindset around, okay, one, do we want to fix something that we know is broken? And when we fix it, is it going to go back to the same way? You know what I mean? Like, or do we look at it from a different lens, a different perspective, and make something totally different and beautiful from what we're seeing? And I think with those doing public health and health equity work, I want to say that's what a lot of people are thinking about is what else can we do? Because obviously trying to fix this isn't working for us.
It's not. And you know, and we can go back historically, you know, how has, you know, especially not working together, working separately, how has that helped at all? It hasn't. Right. I feel like when we actually come together and I think that's in my dream, right? Like I'm a huge dreamer. I see the dream and I'm like, that would be so beautiful. But it will take all of us to actually come together and say, you know, we're not a one size fit all. And that has been one of my main things lately. Like, we're not a one size fit all. So how do we bring people together to the table, not just bring them together, but actually giving them that voice and having someone that listens and is like, okay, you know, obviously none of what we have been doing has worked. So how do we change that? How do we bring different perspectives and go a different route? Because I think that's what we need. We need different perspectives, different people to just come to the table and say, well, I know that this is not working with, you know, with my community. How do we make it better? Because I know all of our communities are different too. I know that Council Bluffs is way different than Des Moines. So, you know, how do we fit it? Because that's another thing too. It's just, and that's a thing, that's where I'm like, we need to do something together as a whole. Let's stop ignoring the issues and actually talk them out in a safe space where we're all
very important safe space. And this kind of brings up my next question, Maria. When we spoke before, you know, as we were preparing to record the podcast, you spoke a lot about belonging and how belonging was important to you. And I'm just curious, one, you know, how would you define belonging, and why is it, and two, and why is it important for community and public health?
So belonging. Oh, I love that word. I think it started, you know, with seeing it everywhere. And I started hearing everything on like Zooms and webinars. And we were all talking how, you know, no matter what, we all want to belong. You know, I can say I don't like people. I hate people. Stay away from me. But at the end of the day, we all want to belong. There's always somewhere where we fit in really well. And the reason why I think it's important is because we, you know, after COVID-19 and, you know, we had such a huge change when it came to mental health, we kind of forgot each other. We kind of forgot to care. We forgot kindness. And I think that once we start having those conversations of, you know, I'm going through the same thing that you're going through, just in a different way, we start coming together. At least that's what I have noticed, that when I tell people, like, you know, I have been diagnosed with PTSD, I have gone through all of these things, people tend to be more open to not just with their own diagnosis, but with what they're going through. And I'm like, we belong in the same community. So how do we make sure that we're not, I don't know. I just think that we are all going through something. Let's at least be kind and know that no matter where you're at, you belong here. Because if you, you know, for someone like me, an immigrant, and I came here not knowing the language, I was 10 years old. And going into rooms where, you know, you don't understand what's going on and you're trying to understand what's going on, it's really hard when you're always like trying to keep an eye out. Like, are they going to be nice to me? Are they going to be kind? Do I belong?
Right.
Because you already feel so out of place. And I had a few, and I'm not going to lie, I did have classmates that were so kind and they were trying really hard to talk to me. And I'm like, I don't understand what you're saying. Like, I just, and it was really cool, you know, and it's nice that you have those people that can feel it, that have empathy, and that they show you that you belong, even though you feel completely out of place and you're like, oh my God, this does not look like my classroom. This does not look like my friends. And I can understand on how, you know, in perception wise, on how that was both sides, because I'm pretty sure that that's how my classmates felt too. Like, it's a weird girl, you know, with her hair and just the color of her skin. And no matter what I say, she doesn't understand anything. So, you know, growing up, that's what I wanted. I wanted to feel like I belonged. And I had a kind of an identity crisis too. I feel like once I hit my 30s, it was, you know, I went back home. I try to go back home at least every year to show my son where I'm from. So he knows my culture, my people. But I also feel that I'm not full Salvadorian anymore. You know, that's my home. I was born there. I grew up there. But then moving here, I have been here longer than I have ever been in my own country. So now my culture, everything has changed. My family's here. You know, my son is here. So everything that we practice is completely different. And there's a lot of things that we used to practice back home that I no longer do those things. So I don't feel like I'm from over there, nor did I feel like I was from here until, you know, someone told me, she's like, you know, you have, and I don't remember what it's called in English, but it's something where it's like the travelers that you always feel like you're not from anywhere, like that you don't belong.
Like a nomad or something.
Yes, yes, that one. And she's like, just remember that you belong to yourself. And where are you from? And like, where you're at? And I'm like, oh my God, like that really, it did hit me, you know? And I'm like, you're right. I belong to myself. And I'm in a new world. You know, I'm creating this new life for my son. And it's different than when I was growing up in, you know, back then El Salvador was a third world country. We were afraid of the gangs and all of these things were going were going on down there. Like, the reason why I came here was because of the earthquakes, and I was homeless there for a little bit. So, Wow. So you know, just coming from that world, coming here, going back home, and I spoke Spanish differently. So they were like, you don't talk like a Salvadorian anymore. And I'm like, yeah, it could be because now I have English, you know, most of my friends are from Mexico. So it changed a lot. So people are like, you're not from here. And I'm like, I was born right there in that hospital. What do you mean? So, you know, that's what I feel too. Like, my whole belonging thing came through. Like, I became so involved into belonging was for having that identity crisis. Just thinking like, but I don't even know where I belong. You know, I know that I don't fit in a box. I know that when I'm checking, you know, when you are checking your, oh my God, what is that form called? But they ask you your name, like where you're from, yeah. Like your ethnicity. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't feel any of those things. You know, I know that I don't fit in a box. So where am I from? And thanks to that person that told me, like, just remember you belong to yourself and where you are making your family. Like, what are you going to teach your son? And I'm like, I want to teach him that no matter what is going to be okay. That there's going to be kind people and that he's going to find his tribe. And no matter what, that he needs to let others feel like they belong where they're at. You know, just being just human kindness.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk. There's a lot to unpack there. I want to start from the beginning because I think it's a beautiful conversation. One, talking about your days when you first, you know, came here and you couldn't speak the language, and there were some kids that were really trying to communicate with you and be nice. And one thing that I've noticed, especially now working with, you know, we've had at the hospital, we've had a lot of refugees come in. And you would, a smile goes a long way, right? Because I understand I can't communicate with you without a translator or anything like that, but I can smile at you and you know what that means. You know that I mean well, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not smiling at you and to do something aggressive, you know? And I think, when we're dealing with, when we have those people in our lives, even if you speak the language, whatever culture you're from, a smile is a symbol of belonging, right? Like, that is definitely, that's the first thing you can do with anybody when it comes to belonging. When you were talking about your this struggle or this battle with your identity, in a way, even though I didn't come from another country, I felt all of that. Because there's a sense within Black and Brown communities sometimes where if you reach a certain level, that you're not what you grew up anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I'm not. I'm 100%. Not saying I am this big baller that has all this going on, but if you eat differently, or if you talk differently, or if, like, you don't really do some of the things that identify with that culture, you're not that culture anymore. Or like, oh, you ain't one of us no more. And it's like, well, yeah, I grew up. Yeah, I am. Like, I still have these experiences, and yeah, it may be different now. But I know the struggle. And yeah. Then, you know, with me, Maria, I try to, not anymore, because I'm grown and I'm like, it is what it is. But there was a time in my life where I had to be super extra just so you knew that I still identify as a strong, you know, Black man or whatever. I had to go extra, extra. And it was, and at the same time, you're in a professional environment. So you're also code switching at the same time and feeling like you can't be yourself. And that's also, in the way, kind of stripping away at my cultural identity. And so there was a kind of a balancing act. Right now in my life, like, same as you, I'm like, I am who I am. And I'm no longer, you know, trying to make other people feel comfortable around me because they may be scared of me for whatever. That is your problem. I will pray for you. And I'm also not going to try to act differently so someone can feel like, oh, he is one of us still. Like, I am who I am. But there is, when it comes to belonging, there is that balancing, but also we can make it a whole lot easier by making everyone feel like they belong and that we are one big team trying to make a better world and do the same thing.
Yeah. And I ride there with you. I completely understand all of that. Because I feel, we also have to admit to the fact that even our own communities are racist. I experienced that firsthand, especially when I was younger, because I started having more friends and all of my friends. And this is another thing too, where I'm like, I don't belong here. Because for me, when it came to my friends, I was friends with everyone. So I tried, I'm like, I don't see what everyone else sees with the stereotypes or anything like that. For me, it was, because my grandma always told me, treat people the way that you want to be treated. Facts. Because if you're treating people bad, people are going to treat you bad. So how do you want to be treated? And growing up with that, I always carry that with me. I'm like, I want to be treated with kindness. I want people to see that I care. So why would I show you something different than that? So for me, that's right. The way that I grew up. And seeing my own community come back to me like, oh, now you're trying to be white. Oh, now you're trying to be this. You're trying to be that. I'm like, I'm trying to find out who I am. Like, I'm on my teens. I don't even know what I want. I'm like, I'm more worried about the cartoons. Like, I remember watching Pokemon and all of those things as I was growing up. And I'm like, I'm more worried about tonight's episode than I am worried about this. So yeah. It's very interesting, when you grow up with someone that tells you, don't look at anyone's color or skin, look at their character, look at how they treat others. I think that was a huge thing for me when I was growing up. And just hearing my grandma always tell me that, because for me, I'm like, I love people and it stemmed because of her. It was always the, care for others. How do you want to be treated? How do you want people to see you when you're walking into a room? And I'm like, God, I do. I want people to know that I care. Like, I'm not just here just to, steal your jobs or take any of that. Because even before I got here, for me, being in El Salvador, being in the United States was a dream. It was, I think a lot of us dream of the United States. Everyone talks about it. It's amazing. You can be free. And once you get here, you're like, wait. There's a lot more issues here than what we really talk about. And I don't know. I feel like now I'm more accepting of, look, we have issues that we need to fix even within our own communities. But if we can come together, let's sit at a table. Let's eat. I'm pretty sure that you're going to like my food because everyone seems to like our cultural food. So let's hang out. I don't know. I feel like if you want to be angry with me after you have had a meal, then you have more issues than I do. Because
That's so real. If you're mad full, then something's wrong. Something's more wrong. Oh my gosh. Maria, I love your energy and your thoughts around belonging and it's very apparent that you're a dreamer. You have all these ideas to improve the health of your community. Are there any, is there anything you're working on or any stories of how some of your ideas and dreams have really made an impact in your community when it comes to belonging or whatever it is that you have seen, you thought it, you dreamt it, and then you made it happen?
So I'm working on an initiative right now. Myself and others came together and we formed a coalition that is called Community Partners for Diversity and Inclusion. And it was about that. We're like, okay, this is going to be very community-based. We want to make sure that people know that we are here. You know, with whatever it is, we just want that safe and brave space. Because when it comes to, you know, when you hear people say that you're from Iowa, I feel like red flags or lights, red lights start going on them. And they're like, wait, you're from where? And people don't know that we're actually doing really good things here. Like, we are trying to bring people together because we know that we need it. So with me, it started, our project is called Wings Around Town. And how we're going to be doing this is we're making clay feathers, to which we're going to be taking to the homeless shelters, Catholic charities. And we're going to be seeing just anyone and everyone that we can, to where they can put on this feather. And we haven't really figured out what collars we're using yet. So don't quote me on collars, but you know, we want to do collars where, you know, are you brown? Are you black? Are you from Asia? Like, do you speak other languages other than English? And just kind of color that feather. That's like those collars. Like, are you a veteran? You know, are you a widow? Are you married? Just these things that showcase to where you'd be like, you know, you're trying to put me in a box. But no, we're just trying to show people that we're more alike than we're not. And that's what we're trying to show. You know, for me is I'm not just a Hispanic Latina woman. I am a mom. I am a hardworking woman, and I'm trying to do the best that I can for my community. So how do I showcase that in a way that others can see that I'm not just, you know, for what you want to see me for? I'm not just my color. I'm not just my language. There's actually something more there. I am a mom. I am married. I have my own family. Like, you know, I have my own issues, and I have been diagnosed with PTSD. I am an immigrant. So I know that there's more immigrants out here. So let's all hang out, you know, let's talk about what it is. What's the struggle? I know that we all feel like we're out of place. So when I gave that talk to them, I'm like, you know, it's honestly, it's just me trying to show you guys who I am. And just to let you guys know that I feel out of place. And I know that I'm not the only one who has felt that way. I know that I'm not the only one who hasn't felt like they don't belong. So I just want to bring people together. And, you know, I think that just coloring a feather, it's so much better than talking about politics and seeing this beautiful thing out there. Like, look, we're more alike than we are different.
Yes.
You know, we can talk about many other things, but just, I don't know. I just feel like if we can come to a place where we don't have to worry about, you know, the outside world, and just for one moment, like, just, okay, I belong somewhere, and it's yes. here, and I welcome you, and I love you. That's what
And you never know where that conversation can go. You know, that's awesome. Maria, again, thank you so much for your time today. This was, as expected, a wonderful conversation. I really, really appreciated your time. For those that are listening or watching that want to learn more about you, what you do, connect with you, where can they find you?
So I'm on LinkedIn and, Facebook. I mean, I can send that information. I just, you know, sometimes I feel like social media is social media. So I try to stay as much as I can away from it. But I do have a cell phone number that you can call, and that's my work. It's 712-828-2064. Like, if you have any questions regarding the project and what we're doing, reach out. Like, we need help making those feathers. So. We welcome Perfect. Everyone.
And I'll make sure I put your LinkedIn in the description of the episode, and the website to the County Public Health website in there as well, so people can reach out and connect with you. Again, Maria, thank you so much for being on The Healthy Project. I really appreciate you and what you do. And everybody, thank you for listening to The Healthy Project podcast. I'll let you next time.